A Little Cloud. Since lunchtime, little Chandler's thoughts had been on seeing Gallagher in the street. Gallagher's invitation to have a drink with him after work, and the great city of London where Gallagher lived. He was called Little Chandler because his hands were white and small, and his body looked weak. His voice was quiet, and his manners were polite. He took great care of his soft hair and moustache, and he used a little scent on his hands. When he smiled, you saw a row of childish white teeth. 8 years before, Little Chandler had seen his friend off at the port on the boat to England and had wished him a good journey. Now, his friend was back in Dublin. Gallagher had lived and worked well since then. You could tell that at once. He looked like a man who had travelled a lot, and he wore an expensive suit and spoke beautifully. Few fellows had talents like Gallagher, and many fellows would be ruined by success like his. It was good to have a friend like Gallagher. Little Chandler sat at his desk and thought about the changes those 8 years had brought. The friend that he had known as a poor and badly dressed man was now a successful writer for the London newspapers. Little Chandler turned from his boring work as a clerk in a law office to look out of the window. The light of the late autumn afternoon sun fell on the grass and paths. It lay a golden dust on the untidy nurses and old men on the seats. It lit the children who ran screaming, and everyone who walked through the gardens. He watched it all and felt a little sad. He knew that he could not change his future. He remembered the books of poetry in the bookcase at home. He had bought them before he married, and now, often in the evenings, he wanted to take one down and read a poem to his wife. But his shyness stopped him, and the books remained on their shelves. Sometimes he repeated a line of poetry to himself, and that made him feel a little better. At 5 o'clock, he stood up and said goodbye to the other clerks in his office. He walked out into Henrietta Street. The sun was setting, and the air was growing cold. There was a crowd of dirty children in the street. They stood or ran in the road or climbed up the steps in front of the houses or sat in the open doors. Little Chandler gave no thought to them. He walked carefully between them, his thoughts on the coming evening and his meeting with Gallagher. He had never been to Corliss's, but he knew all about it. He knew that people went there after the theatre to eat oysters and drink fine wines. He had heard that the waiters spoke French and German. Walking quickly past at night, he had seen cabs stop at the door and richly dressed ladies and gentlemen get out and enter the restaurant. The ladies wore noisy dresses, and they held them up when they stepped out of the cabs. Little Chandler always looked, but passed by without stopping. He turned towards Capel Street. Ignatius Gallagher writing for the London newspapers. Who would have imagined that 8 years before? But now that he thought about it, little Chandler had seen signs of future greatness in his friend. People used to say that Ignatius Gallagher was wild. Of course, he was often with some wild fellows 8 years ago. He drank a lot and borrowed money. In the end, that had got him into trouble. And many people thought that he had left Dublin to get away from his debts. But Gallagher always had talent. And even when he had no money, he always seemed to be happy. Little Chandler started to walk faster. For the first time in his life, he felt he was a better person than the people around him. And, for the first time, he found Capel Street boring and ugly. If you wanted to succeed, he thought, you had to get away. You could do nothing in Dublin. He crossed a bridge and looked down on the river. Although the houses down there were poor and dirty, this evening they looked romantic, covered in golden dust by the setting sun. He wondered if he could write a poem about them. Maybe Gallagher would get it into a London paper for him. Could he write something good? Little Chandler stepped onwards bravely. Every step brought him nearer to London and the life of an artist, and further from his own quiet, boring life. A weak light began to shine in his mind. He was not old, 32. There were many different things he wanted to say in poetry. He could feel them inside himself. He would write sad poems, but there would be happiness there too. If he could collect these poems into a book, men would listen. He was never going to be famous, he knew that. But there was a small group of people who wanted poems like that. English people liked Irish writers. They thought that they had wise and important thoughts. His name was not Irish, but perhaps he could use his mother's name in the middle. Thomas Malone Chandler. Or maybe T. Malone Chandler. He would speak to Gallagher about it. He was thinking so hard that he missed a turn in the road and had to go back. When he reached Corliss's, he was suddenly nervous and stopped at the door for a moment before he decided to go in. Then he opened the door and entered. The light and noise inside made him stop again. The place was full of people. He looked to the left and the right and saw that nobody was looking at him. And there was Ignatius Gallagher, with his back against the bar and his feet wide apart.
"Tommy, good man, here you are. What are you having?"
"I'm taking whiskey. It's better than the whiskey we get in England."
"Barman, be a good fellow and bring us two whiskies." "Well, Tommy, how have you been since we last had a drink together? How old we're getting. Look at me. Am I a little grey and thin on top?"
Ignatius Gallagher took off his hat and showed a large head with very short hair. His face was pale and unhealthy, and his grey-blue eyes shone above his bright orange tie. He bent his head and pulled at the hair. Little Chandler shook his head. Ignatius Gallagher put on his hat again.
"It's a hard life on the newspapers," said Gallagher. "We're always hurrying, looking for good stories and not finding them. And we're always trying to find something new to say. It's good to have a few days away from it, back in the old country. It's good for a fellow to have a holiday. I feel better now I'm back in dear, dirty Dublin. Here you are, Tommy. Water?"
Little Chandler allowed Gallagher to pour a lot of water into his whisky.
"You don't know what's good for you, my boy," said Ignatius Gallagher. "Water ruins whisky. I always drink mine without water."
"I don't drink a lot," said Little Chandler. "Just a small one, when I meet some of our old friends, that's all."
"Ah, well," said Ignatius Gallagher happily. "Here's to us, and to old times, and to old friends."
Their glasses touched and they drank.
"I met some of our old friends today," said Ignatius Gallagher. "O'Hara didn't look good."
"What's he doing?"
"Nothing," said Little Chandler. "He's going down fast."
"But Hogan's got a good job, hasn't he?"
"Yes, he has.
I saw him one night in London, and he seemed to be doing well. Poor O'Hara. Drink, I suppose."
"Yes," said Little Chandler. "Other things too."
Ignatius Gallagher laughed.
"Tommy," he said, "you haven't changed. You always used to talk to me seriously on Sunday mornings when I had a headache. You need to get around the world a bit. Have you never been anywhere?"
"I've been to the Isle of Man," said Little Chandler.
Ignatius Gallagher laughed.
"The Isle of Man," he said. "That's not far.
Go to London or Paris."
"Paris, if you can. That would be good for you."
"Have you seen Paris?"
"I've spent some time there."
"Is it as beautiful as they say?" asked Little Chandler. He drank a little whisky. Ignatius Gallagher finished his.
"Beautiful,"
said Ignatius Gallagher.
"It is beautiful, of course. But it's the life there that's important. It's a city for fun, movement, excitement."
Little Chandler finished his whisky and managed to get the barman to take another order. He asked for the same again.
"I've been to all the good cafes in Paris," said Ignatius Gallagher. "Exciting places. They're not for moral people like you, Tommy. They're too sinful. But if you really want to enjoy yourself, you need to go to Paris. They love the Irish there too."
Little Chandler drank some of his whisky. A little cloud came over his mind. He wondered if his friend was really as wonderful as he seemed. "Is it true," he asked, "that Paris is as immoral as they say?"
Ignatius Gallagher waved his right arm. "Everywhere is immoral," he said. "Of course, you can find some very immoral places in Paris. And there's no woman like a Parisienne."
"So it is a sinful city," said Little Chandler, "compared to London or Dublin."
"London," said Ignatius Gallagher, "that's no different. You ask Hogan, I showed him a few things when he was there. I say, Tommy, finish your whiskey and have another.
No, really.
Come on. One more won't hurt you. The same again?
Well, all right.
Francois, the same again,
said Ignatius Gallagher to the barman.
Will you smoke, Tommy?
He took out his cigars and offered one to little Chandler. The two men lit their cigars and smoked while they waited for their drinks.
I'll tell you what I think, said Ignatius Gallagher from behind a cloud of smoke. It's a strange world, and there's a lot of immoral things out there. I know all about them.
He talked for a while about all the terrible things that happened in different cities. He thought Berlin was probably the worst. There were some things he had heard about from friends, and some things that he had seen himself. He ended by telling a story about an English princess. He knew that this story was true, he told little Chandler. Little Chandler was shocked.
Well, said Ignatius Gallagher, here we are in quiet old Dublin, where nothing like that ever happens.
Don't you find it boring? Said little Chandler, after all those exciting places.
Well, said Ignatius Gallagher, it's relaxing. And it is the old country, and I like it.
But tell me about yourself. Hogan told me that you are married.
Little Chandler smiled.
Yes, he said. I got married 2 years ago.
I hope it's not too late to give you my best wishes, said Ignatius Gallagher. If I had known your address, I would have written to you at the time.
Gallagher put out his hand, which little Chandler took.
Well, Tommy, Gallagher said, I wish you happiness and lots of money, and that you will never die until I shoot you. That's the wish of an old and honest friend. You know that?
I know that, said little Chandler.
Any children? Asked Ignatius Gallagher.
We have one child, a baby boy.
Well done, Tommy.
Little Chandler smiled.
I hope you'll spend an evening with us, he said, before you go back. My wife would love to meet you. We can have a little music and...
Thanks, Tommy, said Ignatius Gallagher. I'm sorry we didn't meet earlier, but I must leave tomorrow night.
Then tonight, perhaps...
I'm sorry. I've arranged to meet some friends later. But maybe next year I'll come over and we can meet again.
Very well, said little Chandler. The next time we must have an evening together. That's agreed, isn't it?
It's agreed, said Ignatius Gallagher. I promise.
Let's have one more drink, said little Chandler.
Just one, said Ignatius Gallagher. Then I must go.
Little Chandler ordered the drinks. He had drunk 3 small whiskies and smoked a cigar, and his head was turning a little. He thought about the difference between his life and Gallagher's. It was not right or fair. He was smarter than Gallagher and came from a better family. He could do better than Gallagher, but he was too shy to push himself forward. He knew that Gallagher did not think highly of him, and that was why he had refused the invitation to his house. The barman brought the drinks. Little Chandler pushed one glass to his friend and picked his own up.
Maybe next year, he said, I'll be able to wish a long life to Mr. and Mrs. Ignatius Gallagher.
Ignatius Gallagher closed one eye.
I don't think so, my boy, he said. I'm going to enjoy myself before I tie myself to a wife, if I ever do.
One day you will, said little Chandler, if you can find the right girl.
Ignatius Gallagher looked at him for a moment before answering,
If I do marry, he said, I'll marry for money.
Little Chandler shook his head.
I could marry tomorrow, said Ignatius Gallagher. There are hundreds of rich and beautiful women in Europe who would be very happy. You just wait. But I'm in no hurry. I don't want to be tied to one woman. It must be a bit boring.
Little Chandler sat in the room off the hall, holding his child in his arms. He had come home late for tea, and he had forgotten to bring the packet of coffee that Annie had asked him to buy. At 9:15, she had to go out to the shop on the corner, and she put the child in his arms.
Here, don't wake him up.
The light from a lamp fell on a framed photograph of Annie. She was certainly pretty, but her eyes were cold. There was no romance in them, no passion. They were not the eyes of those rich and beautiful women from Paris and Berlin that Gallagher had talked about. Why had he married the eyes in the photograph? He looked around the room. The furniture was pretty, but it was too polite. It reminded him of Annie. He felt a need to get away from his boring life. Could he not escape his little house? Was it too late to try to live bravely like Gallagher? But the furniture was not all paid for. They still had debts. If he could write a book, that might earn him some money and open the way for him. There was a book of Byron's poetry on the table. He opened it carefully with his left hand. He did not want to wake the child up. He started to read the first poem. It was about a man remembering his dead lover.
How sad it was! Could he, too, write a poem like that? There were so many things he wanted to describe.
The child woke up and began to cry. He tried to comfort him and started to read a second poem. The child cried louder and louder and would not be comforted. The noise went right through his head. He could not read. He was a prisoner for life. Suddenly, in anger, he bent down and shouted, Stop! The child stopped for a moment, very frightened, then started to scream. Little Chandler jumped up and started to walk around the room with the child in his arms. It was crying, then losing its breath and crying again. He started to feel alarmed. If it died... The door flew open and Annie ran in.
What is it? She cried.
It's nothing, Annie. He began to cry.
She dropped her shopping and took the child from him.
What have you done to him?
It's nothing. I didn't do anything. It's not my fault.
She walked across the room, holding the child in her arms and talking to him softly.
My poor little man, were you frightened?
Calm down now, my love. Little Chandler, his cheeks red with shame, stood back, out of the light of the lamp. He listened while the child's crying slowly grew less and less, and tears of shame filled his own eyes.